plate a potential nugget.
And going back to the competencies of a good virtual leader, the other piece you spoke about was how you drive accountability. What have you learned about what it takes to drive accountability in a remote context? And the reason I ask is, it's a fine line between giving people the space to perform, given their context, at the same time having a tab over what they're up to and whether you as an organization or they are on track on the deliverables. So how have you seen effective leaders walk that tightrope?
Yeah. And for leaders who are used to walking around and checking in on people or having really clear metrics or being in the office to make sure that people are working, this has been a significant mindset shift for some leaders. Now, for other leaders, this has been totally normative and they don't feel like they need that hands-on management. So one thing we're often coaching people and talking to leaders about is you've got, again, it's about being deliberate. You've got to be more clear about expectations, because in a virtual environment, it's harder to set clear expectations. And perhaps more importantly, priorities shift. So how do you as a leader continually check in with people to make sure that they have clear direction? But one thing that we often talk to leaders about is called the ATC model. Mm-hmm. And it's really simple, by the way. So people intuitively understand this. But what we see time and time again is they don't follow it. And I think why it resonates, Deepak, is because we say that it's an acronym for air traffic controller. So just like an air traffic controller managing a lot of flights, you as a leader have to help people manage their priorities, their workloads, and you can't really see them. So you don't need to know what they're doing or when they're doing it. You just need to look at the output. That's mm-hmm. much more important in a virtual setting than when people work. So the ATC model is simple. It's action, timetable, checkpoints. And the checkpoints, it gets to your direct question about if you're very clear with people about when you can check in to support them or what they would like you to do in terms of the check-ins, then you're not going to be perceived as a micromanager. But if I'm randomly emailing you or pinging you on Teams to check in, people might feel like that's pressure. But if I said to you, Deepak, all right, so you've got this project. When do you think it would make sense for us to have a touch point? You said to me 2 weeks. And I said, great. And then we have a touch point. It's not going to feel like, hey, I'm checking in with you all the time. So again, it's really simple. It's not like this is some profound model, but we see leaders micromanage all the time. And they're emailing people, they're sending texts, and they're really not following that balance between delegating and empowering and micromanaging. And then lastly, I would say that you've got to adapt your style. One size fits all is not going to be an approach here. If you've got a highly tenured employee who's really capable, you probably don't need to check in as often. And that's why it's important to have a coaching conversation with the individual to say, how can I support you? So that style, flexibility, and situational leadership matters more than ever.
Got it. It's interesting. I was one of the leaders I was interacting with, a pretty senior leader in Uber. He had an interesting signature. It said, I've sent this email because it's convenient for me to send it out over a weekend or late at night, but I don't expect you to respond immediately. Take your time and respond, just as a part of the default signature. And I thought, just such a small thing to do, but it can be liberating. If you had an email with that, it just sort of takes the pressure away from responding to it if you got that email at, let's say, 5 a.m. Because that leader might be a morning person and you might have a different rhythm. So it just felt like a very interesting micro change, but something that can change the way people see you as a leader.
Yeah, and I think those micro changes, that's a great point, are actually much more important in a virtual setting because people don't have the cues to really read nuances. So things that might be perceived as urgent, are going to be perceived as maybe extra urgent. And so leaders have to role model the right behavior. And I think that Uber example is a great example. Another CEO who we were talking to was telling us that he was going to request that employees come in 2 days a week, starting in September. And then he said, and that's what I'll, recommend to the management team, but I'm going to be in 5 days a week. And we said, so-and-so CEO, do you realize that that's going to set unintended consequences? And so it's the role modeling of behavior and anticipating possible consequences of things like sending a text at 5 a.m. or an email. And so you really have to be more thoughtful and planful about how you engage with people.
One thing I've noticed in the pandemic is that people have had the opportunity to clock the hours given what else is going on in their lives. Not everybody needs to do a 9-to-6, I guess. It's all the more important, I guess, in these times for us to clarify the rhythm with which we are working. Like in the case of this Uber leader, it might make sense to spell out some of these things which otherwise could lead to unintended stress in the system.